Well, since I bent Pastor Sammy's ear so long this morning, I'll try not to bend y'all's ears too long. I don't think I have anything to share that will take a long time, I hope. But I hope it's worthwhile, and I hope that we can find something that God has for all of us today. I will be reading this morning from the book of Obadiah. And I think let's just... I will read the entire book, I think, and go back and have a few things to say about it. Thankfully, it's not a long book. The vision of Obadiah: thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodst on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah, in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them, and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on the mount of Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Sometimes, Lord, we find confusion as we search the scriptures, and we find things that we don't understand. But Lord, I pray that you would lay open your word this morning. Give us understanding, give us wisdom to apply even the book of Obadiah to our lives today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us, and we ask your continued blessing and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a little bit longer than short.
A little rough. Sorry, the sound's not coming through that.
All right.
That'll pick it up.
So that'll pick it up. Okay. This is a judgment on Edom. And this is the conflict between Jacob and Esau started long, long, long time ago. And as I looked back to look at the beginning of the Edom and Israel conflict, the Esau and Jacob conflict, as far as I could see, Jacob and Esau, the people, the men, left one another on relatively friendly terms. In Genesis, in Genesis we read the story of Jacob and Esau, how they Esau was coming with 400 men, and I've read this story to my boys, and so it's fresh on my mind. The 400 men were coming, and Jacob was afraid, and he split his party into different groups, and he sent ahead animals to be gifts for Esau, because he did not want to be wiped out by his brother who had sworn to destroy him. And when they met, Esau fell on his neck and kissed him, and they departed friendly. Later, I found one more time that Jacob and Esau apparently were in one another's presence. In Genesis 35, it talks about when Isaac died. Their father died. And that was when Esau had said, "When my father dies, I'm going to kill Jacob." Well, Genesis 35, verse 29 tells us that Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gone unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. It tells us that Esau and Jacob buried their father Isaac. So apparently they were together there, and we don't know that there was no conflict, but I think if there had been, it would have been noted. And later in Deuteronomy, when God is giving the children of Israel specific things that they need to do, Deuteronomy 23:7 says, "Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother." So God tells Jacob, don't abhor Edom. Well, later, when Moses was, or may have not been later than Deuteronomy, but when Moses was leading the children of Israel into Canaan, they had to pass Edom, and they wanted to go through Edom. And so they sent messages and said, "Can we just walk through? We won't touch anything beside the road. We will just walk straight through." And Edom refused. And Edom, the king of Edom, brought out an army and said, "You shall not pass," and did not allow them to proceed along their way. And Israel went around. Israel said, "We're not going to push this." God told Moses, this is not Israel's idea, but God told Moses, "Just go around. It's going to be okay." And God told the people of Israel, "Do not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother." Well, Edom became a mighty nation. The children of Esau became a great nation, very strong, powerful, and proud. We see a little bit of that in verse 3. "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock." I think it's referring to the city of Petra, which was supposed to be impregnable. There was no way that Petra could be taken. Edom was confident in that. All of the kings knew that they were safe in Petra. Well, God has other plans. Though you exalt yourself as an eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, even from there I'll bring you down, says the Lord. I think the pride of Edom comes from the pride of Esau. I think that Esau had a proud heart, and we see in the story of Esau and Jacob how Esau went his own way. He did what he wanted to do, and I think we see that carried down in his descendants in Edom. The judgment of God is coming on Edom. Let me just take a little aside here. I was thinking, as I thought about Obadiah, and I don't have a concrete reason why I'm speaking from Obadiah other than I feel that I felt led to. But as I was thinking about what relevance does Obadiah and a judgment against Edom have today, how is that... Make an argument for why we should study Obadiah, I was asking myself. There's no reason here. And I had to think about when I had a disagreement with one of my sons, and we had a little discussion about it. And I didn't ask permission to share this, so I won't out which one it was. But we were on opposite sides of an issue. And I saw something that he had a question about. There was one thing we were sure about, but there was something else he had a question about, and I started to sidestep a little bit and say, well, let's look at this issue over here, and let's talk about that. And after just a little bit of talking that direction, he said, now, wait a minute. Are you talking about that over there, or are you talking about this over here? And that's a fact. I was using that to get back to the point that I wanted him to understand and hear. And by talking about something else, I got him to hear what I was saying. And that's what God does in the book of Obadiah. And 65 more. I think that this vision of Obadiah was for the country of Edom, impregnable in Petra. And I think it's also for us to pay attention and listen to. Why was Edom being receiving judgment and doom? How can I guard my heart to keep myself from making the mistakes of Esau? So that's my argument for why we need to listen. That's not very good, but I could just say it's in the Bible, so pay attention. That's probably a better argument. Anyway, I found that interesting, and this is not... I don't believe that Obadiah was having a vision of Grace Covenant Baptist Church and saying, these people need to hear these words. No, I think he was listening to God about the judgment on Edom, but I think these words are relevant to us even today as we struggle with the pride in our hearts, as we seek to understand better how to deal with our brothers. And the judgment of God is coming on Edom. It says in verse 10, for the violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And it goes on in the following verses, and I see three things that God says you shouldn't have done. When judgment came on Israel, did Edom rise up to defend their brother? No. No, they did not. And God says in verse 12, you should not have looked on, you should not have rejoiced at the calamity of your brother of Israel. And in verse 13, and I think verse 12 repeats that. You should not have looked on, neither should you have rejoiced, neither should you have spoken proudly. So you should not have rejoiced at your brother's downfall. I think that's a word for us today. You should not rejoice at your brother's downfall, even if that brother is estranged from you, even if you hate that brother. You should not rejoice at your brother's downfall. The next verse, 13, I think encapsulates a concept. Neither should you have entered in the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. You should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity. You should not have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have participated in the looting of your brother. And I, in my notes, I started writing, you should not have rejoiced at the calamity of Jacob, and should not have participated in the looting of Jacob, and of Israel. And so I crossed out Jacob, I wrote Israel. And that's not right, because it says your brother. You should not have looked on in the day your brother, he became a stranger. It is not just the nation of Israel that God is concerned with. It is your brother. It is the people that you have relationship with. It is the people that are your brother. And the third thing that I saw in verse 14, you shouldn't have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither should you have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. You should not have assisted in the destruction of your brother. In verse 15, it says the judgment that is coming. The day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now, that is the judgment of God. And that is not mine to mete out. That is not Israel's to mete out on her enemies. That is not any of our responsibility to bring the judgment of God. That is God's responsibility. It will come. And that is God's responsibility. In verse 17, we have my favorite word in this book. And that word is but. But. There is calamity coming on Edom. But. Upon the Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the calamity that God is bringing on Edom will bring deliverance, will bring bounty to his people. And I think not just to Jacob, not just to Israel, but to God's people. I think that is for us. In verse 18, it tells us, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. God's people in this situation are the instruments of judgment. And yet, it is God's judgment. God is making them a fire. God is making the house of Joseph a flame, and Esau a stubble. But it is God's judgment. And it ends by saying, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Even as God makes the house of Jacob the instruments of doom and calamity, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We are not the kings of our own kingdom. I was talking with Pastor Sammy how I am the leader of my house and I make the decisions for my house. But ultimately, I'm not the leader of my house because I am subject to my leader, and God is the king over my house. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our king, and we pray that you would give us grace to speak with our brothers. We pray that you would guide us and that you would be our king. Help us, Lord, to follow you as a king. that we would be your subjects. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how I did on time.
You did great. You could keep going. You could keep going.
I don't know that I have much more to say. Okay.
That's all right. I appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break for a few minutes and fellowship, and then we'll resume. Very good.
It's working.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Recognize that voice.
Yeah,
that's Thank you.
Yeah. Where is
Well, you're not going to be. Yeah. You got to have something.
No, I don't care.